What up, what up, what up, peace, silly listeners. Welcome to the podcast where we shoot the shit and take our silliness seriously. The Professionally Silly Podcast. It's your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones. And DJ Hey Cousin is here.
Oh, bow, 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 bow. DJ Hey Cousin on the ones and twos. What's going on, y'all?
Really glad he's here. happy Black History Month, DJ Hey Cousin.
Happy Dark Melanin Month,
out here celebrating. I don't know if you guys were aware, I did post on the It's Professionally Silly podcast group on Facebook a nice little 60-second, maybe actually about a minute, 8 seconds video of me sharing some information about Uncle Nearest. You know, Nathan Nearest Green, sharing some Black history facts about who was distilling the dopest, the smoothest, the sickest whiskey in the South.
Yo, she put me onto that. Very divine, very delicious. My goodness.
So if you want to see that video, it is still available there because I posted it there. It's something that we did on the Burt Show, so that was kind of fun. All right, so that being said, also last week, we did kind of dive into what Black history means to me. If you have not heard that, check it out. I did make it available for the mini-sode as well. And I'm actually kind of proud of myself. I just kind of got raw and real about what I was feeling. And it was also kind of entertaining and weird, oddly funny as well. Yeah. It was weird.
I mean, audience, y'all know how she gets when she starts raw dogging, you know?
Yeah, I love to raw dog some audio. That's what I do. Yeah. Make sure you guys subscribe, rate, and review if you want to show your support for this podcast. And if you're listening on Spotify, you can now leave comments directly under the episodes that you're listening to. So don't forget to go ahead and do that. So DJ Hey Cousin, how you been, man? What you been up to? What's going on with your kid?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great.
I see a kid and cuz at the same time.
I know,
kid.
Right? It was a nice little combo.
It was weird, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just trying to survive. There's so much going on. You know, it's just, I'm really trying to cherish the little things that happen in my life, regardless if it's a win or an L, to be honest with you, because those L's tend to be lessons.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that generic ass shit. Thank you.
Well, I mean,
I'm just playing with you. All right, guys. So as you guys know, it is Black History Month, but on this podcast, especially in the recent, I think it's been, how long has it been? Like about 7 months since we've been doing the POC Excellence segment, something like that? Shorter than that?
Maybe a little less than that, but I mean, we've definitely covered some ground, most definitely.
Oh, for sure. And I plan on keeping it going because there's so many amazing people to talk about who are doing amazing things. And guess what? They just so happen to be Black, or they have another color that ain't white.
Exactly.
So I'm going to share that with you. So coming up next, we're going to go ahead and start the show off with our POC Excellence segment.
Nice. They may do it once a year, but we do it every day of the year.
Yeah. Well, at least every Friday.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
it. Year round. We do it year round.
Year round. Yeah. Get the wording right.
Hey, there we go.
Marketing and stuff. It's the Professionally Silly Podcast. All right. So y'all know what time it is. It's time for our POC Excellence segment. And this one really caught my eye. And it's coming from the Instagram page at Being Black is Lit. And they ain't wrong. I tell you what, I'm a fan. So the headline that caught my eye was, a historic Black church in Washington, D.C. now owns the Proud Boys name. Metropolitan African Methodist, Episcopal. No. How do you say it again, dude? This one gets me every fucking time.
Actually, you got it right. Episcopal.
Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal. Damn it, that sounded weird. Shit.
Episcopal?
Episcopal.
Yeah.
That is a tough one.
That is. It is hard. That's hard.
Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church can seize any money the far right group makes from selling merchandise. Mm. So if you guys remember all the craziness that has been going on for the past feels like 80 years, mm-hmm. same shit, different names.
Pretty much.
So the Proud Boys, they no longer own their name. So check this out. Once again, this is coming from Instagram page at Being Black is Lit. So it says here, a D.C. judge has ruled that the Proud Boys trademarks now belong to, damn it, not again, Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Washington, D.C. So this means that the far-right group can no longer use its name, and the church can now claim profits from any merchandise sales, including hats and T-shirts, featuring the group's logos, according to the New York Times. So it also goes on to say here that the historic church where Frederick Douglass, Oprah Winfrey, and Barack Obama have worshipped sued the Proud Boys in January 2021 after members destroyed Black Lives Matter signs during a pro-Trump rally in December 2020. Proud Boys leader Henry Enrique Tadio later pleaded guilty to the act. In 2023, the group was ordered to pay over $1 million to the church, but after failing to do so, this latest ruling gives the church control over their trademarks as compensation. Well.
Quite the predicament.
So the very first comment that I saw on this was coming from at Pink Pearls. Oh, they eating this one. Happy Black History Month. Somebody said, checkmate. And I think that's like kind of like dope. I know that we have a lot of work to do, clearly, especially the next 4 years is going to be even harder. But it is the small wins like this that we have to remember, even though it's hard to do so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But here's the thing, like, mountains didn't start out as fucking mountains. You know what I mean? Them shits took time to mm-hmm. evolve into something. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like that same practice goes to the things that we're reaching for ourselves. No matter how hard it is, you have to do what you can when you can. You know what I mean?
That's always been the mantra. I mean, because that's really all you can do at the end of the day.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, so check this out. I want to go ahead and talk about this right now. Super Bowl.
Dun, 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 dun.
First of all, I saw the entire thing. I took a nap right before the Super Bowl started so I could like make sure I was awake because I had to get up early as shit in the morning and go to work. But I missed about maybe the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game. I was there for the very first touchdown, so I didn't miss too much.
Yeah,
but I will say this: Mahomes, he got teabagged. I'm sorry, quarterback sacked 87,000 times to the point to where he was literally. It felt like he was literally afraid to have the ball in his hand.
He was pretty much dog walked this entire game.
Yeah, he was.
And for the folks who said, "Oh, this is very exciting to see an all-black quarterback Super Bowl." Yeah, it's true. I agree.
Yeah, it was nice.
But the black man won on that one.
You stupid. Now, because I hear a lot of people talking shit about Jalen Hurts and how he's not this and he's not on the number five this list and blah, 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 blah. Whatever list you want to put him on, not only this isn't even his first one Super Bowl, is it?
Exactly.
You feel me? Like you put respect on his name.
You got to put him on the list as a winner, as a Super Bowl winner.
You know, and honestly, respect to Patrick Mahomes too. He's normally on his shit. I don't know what the fuck yesterday's. I don't know what the fuck the Super Bowl was about. That was kind of weird because the Chiefs definitely play better than that. That was wild. But the fact that the Eagles, their defense and offense was able, their defense especially, the fact that it was able to go to like one of the bottom on the list to like number one is amazing.
Yeah, that's quite a season story.
Yeah, you know, I don't normally talk about a lot of sports on this podcast, but that Super Bowl was, it was a great game if you're an Eagles fan.
Oh, yes.
none of my teams that I like really love were playing, but my daddy's from PA. Harrisburg, technically, but, you know, we're going to rep Philly. Plus, exactly. He has a thing for birds, so we tend to root for any team that has a bird in it. So that's if none of our teams are playing.
And to anyone who may be listening that's in the Philadelphia area, I hope you're okay. I hope that your place of residence still stands.
That's the thing about Philly, bro. They have this... The thing about Pennsylvania is a very beautiful state. A lot of lovely people live there. But when you go to Philly, it is one of the rudest goddamn places. You think Boston is rude? Philly is one of the rudest fucking places. Let me tell you this. I know for a fact, plus I've heard it many, many times, people have been there. But the thing is, when it comes to winning or losing a game, a sporting event for their favorite team, they will destroy their city and happiness. And if they win and if they're pissed off, they're going to destroy their city anyway.
Yep. Sometimes a little bit of both, depending on, you know what I'm saying, the circumstances of the game. You know what I mean?
I'm terrified of Philly. I don't want to live there. Right. I'll visit. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cheesesteaks, the women, land.
In fact, the mayor.
Those stairs that Rocky ran up.
That's great, right? Right? The mayor of that city actually gave a little press conference. It may have been yesterday or the day before. Where? Saying, citizens of Philadelphia, please don't hang from light poles like you saw on
the Super Bowl. The performance. Show.
And
yeah.
Please don't fuck this city up too much. Please. Okay. Please. That she was. I mean,
do
she
your
was
best
basically,
not to destroy our home.
Exactly. She was pleading with everyone. Just please don't. We don't got enough money as it is. Please don't fuck this city up too much from this win. Please.
Speaking of, by the way, congratulations, Eagles. Eagles motherfucking fly. The only person I feel bad for is Taylor Swift. Poor thing got booed for no reason. She was just there supporting her man. Like, goddamn. What the fuck? I'm going to say this. I'm not a Swiftie at all, but I do not understand all the hate that she gets. I don't get it.
You know what?
She seems like a sweet person who's very talented. So people just shit on her. I don't get it.
Anecdotally, I tend not to see too much hate. What I do tend to see a lot of right now is people sort of having an epiphany over her mediocrity. Like, oh yeah, she's not as cool as I thought. They don't have different responses to that.
See, my thing with Taylor Swift is I can't think of anyone that I'm such a huge fan of that I see them as a god or bigger than the human being that they are.
Or you pedestalize?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But I do respect her grind. I respect her talent. I respect where she came from, how she got what she got. I feel like she deserves the accolades that she has earned. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's bullshit that anytime somebody else wins and she doesn't, they're like, oh, it's not. You know, I think that she is exactly where she needs to be. She is amazing at what she does. She has my respect. She is a queen, you know, doing her thing. But I just don't understand people seeing celebrities so highly that they can't see that they're people. It's weird.
Well, you know, bro, there's a lot of parasocial shit going on. And this was before the internet. And this has lasted longer than celebrity has been around. You know, people attach a lot of their personality to the things they like.
Yeah.
And when those things happen to be people, it gets a little bit worse.
And I feel the same way about the Beehivers, too. I mean, not just them all the other ones, the Pinksters, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, the Barbies, whatever. I have no problem calling the Beehive a cult. I have no problem doing that. Just the way they move, the way they unionize.
That is wesley@gmail.com.
The way they all just heard this, like a siren call just now. See, that's... What was that? Do you hear that sound?
That's the beehive. They are assembling,
is
bro.
Is that 10,000 feet running this way at top speed?
Well, and she just announced a tour, bro. You were gonna begin it in Atlanta. From what I understand, is her last spot for the tour.
Oh yeah.
So that's gonna be interesting. Stay inside because it's gonna be traffic.
I already know folks crying over the money they already aren't going to have once they purchase these tickets.
Oh yeah. Aren't making rent.
Yeah. Huh?
I actually know a friend of mine. Her name will be unnamed, but I know for a fact that there was a time that she bought Beyonce tickets literally with her rent money and had to figure out what to do.
We all have a friend like that.
I don't get that type of thinking, but go ahead. Yeah. All right. Yo, so speaking of the Super Bowl halftime show.
I was about to say the halftime
show.
That was, I got to say, on the pantheon of Super Bowl performances, that was up there. That was up there. There's a couple of folks who are hating solely because it wasn't up to what they expected, which is really a personal problem.
Yeah.
That was their own inflated expectations, maybe from what they've seen on tour or this or that. You have to be mindful. This is the Super Bowl where it's a kids event. Like, this is also playing on fucking Nickelodeon. Like,
right, yeah.
You can only do...
You can't mention A minor there. There's like a lot of A minors watching.
They still got it off, though. He still got it off, though.
That lowercase A that he was wearing around his neck.
I didn't realize that until like 5 in the morning. Like, what? The A, that's what the... Because we was like, what does the A mean? What does that A mean? Even past the A minor moment when they did the song, what is that A for?
When I first saw it, I thought he was rubbing Atlanta for a second, for like a second.
I went through all the
possibilities.
That
was a narcissist of me.
Mm-hmm,
you know, because, you know, Atlanta's, you know.
Of course, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, come on, hello. We nearby.
Yeah, right.
We nearby.
See, beyond just the track list he did, which was great, which is a great track list given the venue, he there's just stacks on stacks on stacks of symbolism. I mean, from the video game motif with the PlayStation stuff on on that, with the game over at the end.
Yeah, he's talking about it was literally looking like their PlayStation controller. Mm-hmm. It's like PlayStation 2.
And you know what I'm saying? With the whole Sam Jackson thing. Minus one life. You know what I'm saying?
Saw Samuel L. Jackson enter my screen, I literally screamed.
Yeah, with the Uncle Sam outfit? Oh, yes. Man. Yeah, that was perfect.
Uncle Sam. Samuel L. Jackson as Uncle Sam is everything.
And him, just him being a narrator for anything.
Thank you.
Just automatically elevates that thing. Like 5 degrees.
Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but it was actually kind of like a playoff of his character on Django.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
If you have not seen the movie Django starring Samuel L. Jackson and Jamie Foxx, repair that mistake, because it's a wonderful movie. And if you look behind the scenes of it, it was very difficult to film emotionally, mentally. There's a lot of behind the scenes shit that would like break your for instance. You may know the scene with Kerry Washington and Leonardo DiCaprio. You know the guy that only dates women who are under 25? That guy?
Yeah, I'm aware.
You're aware of that guy? So there was a scene where they're in the dining room and they're all eating or talking or drinking, what have you. And he gets really fucking angry in the scene, and he slams his hand down on the table and he breaks the glass. And you see that his hand is bloody. That's his real blood. Mm-hmm. He actually cut his hand and put his blood on Kerry Washington's beautiful brown face.
And she did wonderfully acting in that moment.
Yeah.
And mind
But I know in her brain after that, she was like, I need to get, I might need some shots.
And mind you, in the moment, I would have went with it too.
Same.
But I definitely would have been like, hey, can we look at that? Can we review that footage real quick to make sure? Because I'm only doing that once.
I hope you got, because I got to tell you, because when you're an actor, you do just kind of those moments.
You fall into those moments.
You fall into those moments.
And I'm sure Leo was the same way, like, I'm not doing that again, but is how'd it look?
I'm sure he felt kind of like, oh, shit, I'm sorry about that. I don't know. Because once you're, as an actor, once you're in that, you're in it. But they're both amazing actors, so they were both in it. But anyways, I digress. Hard as fuck.
You know what I'm saying?
What the fuck was I talking about?
Symbolism.
Oh, thank you. Know what I'm
saying? Going back to the
symbolism.
Super Bowl.
So there was a lot of symbolism dealing with the Super Bowl, this performance that Kendrick did. A lot of people were wondering, what part of the song is he going to do, They Not Like Us? We all knew that he was going to do it. I thought it was hilarious that he teased it in the beginning and then didn't do it.
Mm-hmm,
I was like, sued.
Why are you edging the audience? Why are you edging 130 million people?
I'm almost there. But it was wonderful. So what I wanted to do is on the Bird Show, Mo Mitch, he is one of the four main co-hosts of the show, and he had a lot to say about the symbolism, and I think he said it so wonderfully. I want to share with you what he said, so I'm going to go ahead and play that clip for you guys right now.
All right.
Thing about Kendrick is you have to watch something 2 or 3 times, because the man just goes deep, and it's hard to decipher which messages he's trying to get across, because a lot of the times it could be 2 or 3 things out of one thing. Some of the brilliance in it is you would watch it and think that that's all he was doing was dissing Drake, but in fact he was doing a lot more. Some people believe that the entire message itself is a nod to when slaves used to use coded messages in order to communicate with each other and to keep their masters from knowing what exactly was going on.
Oh, wow.
So he did that on the largest platform possible for a hip-hop artist, which within itself is monumental. One of the obvious ones, you start with Samuel L. Jackson, who narrates it as his character in Django, where he talks about what Uncle Sam is demanding from black people within the country. At some point, he tells Kendrick to play the game that Americans want you to play and don't be ghetto. That's Kendrick saying, we have to play a certain game in order to be looked at a certain way, because Samuel Jackson also says you better do what quote unquote they want, because that's black people who are always getting told we're too abrasive when we're simply just fighting for our rights. That's what the message was in that. The red, blue, and white dancers all symbolized different things throughout the entire performance. They represented their American flag to a lot, in which there was a scene when they split in half and Kendrick is in the middle. That's his way of saying that the country is really divided, and it's always been that way. Another one is when everybody bends over. All of the dancers bend over and give their backs, and then Kendrick stands up in the middle. That's his way of saying that America was built off of the backs of black people, and we don't get the credit we deserve on top of that.
So that is, I think what he said was beautiful, and
yes.
It made a lot of sense. And for those of you who did not enjoy the Super Bowl halftime show, a lot of them did not understand what was going on. They didn't know about the beef. They didn't know about the symbolism of Black America or the Black history behind it or any of those things. So I can understand if you're being ignorant of all those things, you probably thought, oh, it was just not great. Or maybe you just thought it was low energy. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And but you were going to say something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll just add one last thing to the whole symbolism thing. The constant use of red, white, and blue. You know, that was so pivotal, because that was there the entire time, regardless of where they were or what the stage transition happened to be. That was always a constant theme. The red, white, and blue from, of course, the flag, the American flag, to Crips and Bloods, with the white also symbolizing dead homies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you look on, if you look a little closer to see their outfits and how they look aesthetically, they actually resemble the outfits from Squid Game.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, that has an entire another layer of symbolism to it. You know what I mean? As far as classism and the battle between the rich and the poor, and the game they play with this, as far as what we'll do for money, you know, it's just that, just those colors and that outfit represents so much. You know what I'm saying? Within a performance that already means so much. I mean, like on top of the stuff Mo said, bro, it's a well of knowledge and theming and life. Like it's crazy, man. It really is.
I think a lot of people who don't know a lot about hip hop or Kendrick himself, if you know Kendrick, everything you saw at the Super Bowl was not surprising at all.
Oh yeah.
You expected it. You were excited to see it because you wanted to know how he would show you all those amazing ways of communicating that he understands he's with us. You know what I'm saying? We together, we got this, all of this. You know, the understanding of the understanding, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that the majority of the people who are like kind of mad, or not mad, but hating, are the people who know, who are aware of those performances and how great they can be.
Oh.
And they wanted something to top that. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get it. This is one of the biggest stages we'll ever be on, but that doesn't.
I think because of what this performance stood for, there aren't that many Super Bowl performances that are standing for something.
We need to be happy he just got like a Not Like Us in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
a
fact. He snuck it in there. He did.
You know, and,
I ain't going to hold you. When I saw Serena Williams dancing, I said, ooh, that's a hella shock. A shot to Drake, because she was right there front. It was right there front
and
center.
That was right after the A minor.
Yeah. And by the way, for those of you who do not know, Serena and Drake used to have a little thing.
Yeah, yeah. They dated for a while back. A brief time a while back. So that was to have that individual who understand the canon of the situation, had to have her there also as a representative of California,
of that
city. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful.
Oh, and shout out to SZA. You know, you're one of our favorite charades. Prompts.
Definitely.
So thank you for existing, not just because of your music and your beauty, but you helped us figure out how to get Wesley to guess the word scissors.
Yeah, never forget that.
Scissor. So thank you so much for that.
Always need that in my life.
All right, guys. Up next, guess what? More random silliness. Don't go away. We're coming back.
Ooh.
It's the Professionally Silly Podcast.
Let's go from hella symbolic to hella silly right now.
Yes. I got to tell you, there's really no way to transition from the topic we just discussed to this. So, I mean, I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Let's
you ready for this? Speaking of Black history, Black men have huge penises.
Oh.
And speaking of penises, thousands of 10-inch penis fish washed up on a beach. Fishermen flocked to shore to grab them all.
Perfect pivot.
Thank
perfect.
You.
That was perfect.
I worked for it.
That was so good.
So I love this podcast, and it's called the Bananas Podcast. It's really funny. It's bananas. And
I bet you they've never actually talked about bananas on there, ever.
Actually, they did in the beginning. It was so funny. Like, people used to send them random photos of bananas that they came across randomly.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing. It's great. Check out the Bananas Podcast, and that is done with Exactly Right Media, and that is with Georgia Hardstark and Karen Kilgariff. And with Bananas is literally Strange News, and the host is Kurt Brangala, we say his name wrong, and Scotty Landis, and they are really, really, really fucking funny. So shout out to Kurt and Scotty and Georgia and Karen and the entire Exactly Right Media Network. By the way, I would love to be on your network. Okay, so so the Bananas Podcast talked about this about a week ago, and I hadn't even heard this episode yet. I follow them on Instagram, so sometimes the things they post pop up in my feed.
Yeah,
and I was like, ooh, this is interesting. So this is coming from their podcast, Instagram, at the Bananas Podcast. And this is a Daily Mail post that they found. And they actually posted the entire article here. So it says nice. Here, and mind you, they do look like penises. thousands of 10-inch penises.
Oh, my God. First of all, I only see the peripheral from the screen, and it already looks crazy. I don't even see the full image yet, and it looks crazy already.
It looks like a bunch of severed penises, but no blood or anything. It's just like a...
It looks like the
pile,
oh my God,
of penis.
I don't even see
a
the full image.
Pal, a PP.
Okay, let's turn it. Turn it. Continue turning it.
Okay. All right. So it says here. This is coming from the Daily Mail here. Thousands of 10-inch penises, penis fish, have washed up on the beach in Argentina in a bizarre phenomenon. The grime looking sea worms, known formally as, well, this is going to be fun to say, Eurycus Unicinitus.
Uh-huh.
Eurycus Unicinitus. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Oh, you know what? I bet she'll know. Let me see.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if I can get this bitch to say it. Let me turn it up. All right. Speech. Start speaking.
Eurycus Unicinitus.
Eurycus Unicinitus?
Eurycus Minicinitus. Eurycus Unicinitus.
Dickfish.
Yeah.
All I heard was dickfish.
Anyway, the dickfish lined the beaches of Mulatiriar. Ooh, wow.
Wow.
Motelillar.
Oh, there it is.
Of north of Rio Grande. So the creatures flooded onto the beach after a heavy storm on Monday afternoon. So this is posted a week ago, so I don't know when the Daily News posted this, but Bananas Podcast posted this a week ago. And so it says here, the creatures flooded onto the beach after a heavy storm, and this is not an infrequent phenomenon in Argentina.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, I hope not. With stacks of the sea worms having previously lined the shores in the south of the country following torrential weather.
They probably served dick fish with a side of rice and some mangoes or some shit.
Oh, that sounds, actually, I mean, like with some garlic maybe, like some,
oh
like,
God.
Sea salt and like some black pepper, oh maybe a little God, bit of honey.
Oh.
Squeeze
oh my God. Watch
lemon
I'm probably
juice.
Right too. Oh my God.
Oh, it says here, despite their rather rude looking appearance, the sea worms.
That's the word you're going to use? Rude?
That's what it says.
That's
rude
very
underselling looking
it.
Appearance. I mean,
article
there's
writer.
A lot of dicks on here.
Really? Rude?
Just. Cox.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
The sea worms are greatly sought after in Asia for their medicinal properties.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Why do most phallic things in nature help with your dick?
Nobody said that. It says local fishermen have since reportedly flocked to the beach to gather up the penis fish, as they are deemed to be excellent bait, particularly when fishing for sea bass. Locals photographed the phallic creatures, each measuring around 10 inches long, 10 inches along the shoreline earlier this week. Thousands of the sea worms have been previously washed up on the beach in California in 2019. Oh, I lived there then. I didn't know about that.
Oh, shit. You heard about the dick fish?
Nobody talked about the dick fish when I was there.
Oh,
see, this
man.
Is why I don't go to the beach.
See? Because the dick fish would have pulled up.
You'd be like, oh, my God. Condoms and fucking, like, needles everywhere and shit. Beaches are dirty out there. Let me tell you something about Santa Monica Pier. Gross.
Oh, yeah. I heard stories.
It says, in a small cluster of the sea worms have historically been spotted along the shores in Argentina. So they are likely to bury themselves in the sand, but storms and swells in the ocean can easily knock them off course and onto land. So that's how they got there. There's more to go. I'm not reading all that shit.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you know,
watch out
at.
For the penis fish, man.
Yeah, watch out for them dick fish.
They're
on the rise.
So if you like to go out swimming and you like to swim commando, I'm just saying, you might not want to do that. You just don't know.
Yeah, you feel some cold and phallic going up your leg. It may not be a dolphin.
Oh, yo, facts. I share this last part with you here. It says they are generally fished for in the shallow waters of the China Seas, but are also found in sand tunnels beneath the water. Around the world.
The world, y'all. So, that's where you at.
Put your pants on when you're swimming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hope you guys enjoyed that after the inspiring information that we shared with you before.
Yeah, we just told you dick fish exists and they're near you.
Coming to an asshole near you. It's the Professionally Silly Podcast. I have decided that first of all, Wes, I really like recording like this because I don't know what we're going to talk about next until we're about to record it at that moment.
Yeah, this is great. I was going to say off air that like this is better for like a live.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which.
Live thing. If you was able to do this live, this would be much better.
Well, I mean, maybe not speaking of which, but I have been doing some work on Riverside FM. Because that is literally what we have access to that for free, you know, because it started off with Anchor FM and then became Spotify for podcasters and it was Riverside and I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Hella buyouts.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of shit going on. But Riverside does allow us to record video for the podcast. So the plan is to kind of get to know how to use that more. Mm-hmm. And we will eventually have video podcast available. And here's what I was thinking. Remember, I was thinking about the whole rebranding and all that. I'm rethinking that right now because if we can get the video podcast going up the way that I think we can, can be on the Professionally Silly Podcast YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be great to have video there. Probably the edited stuff would go there. Maybe memberships would be the unedited stuff or Patreon if we get that going. So and not to mention, I have so many ideas. So I'm rethinking a lot of things right now. So I haven't made any decisions yet, which is why I haven't, you know, changed anything. I will be doing like new thumbnails soon and all that. But
yeah, it's coming, y'all.
Everything is coming.
But it takes time. And it's not even about doing it right. It's just about making a decision that a person feels good with. You know, that's really what it is. A lot of the time, it can be perfection, but it's just about making a decision you can live with.
I think the most important question that I can really ask you, DJ Hey Cousin, is what would be a word that starts with F, ends with U-C-K? By the way, that is me transitioning into the next segment. Would you like me to repeat that?
Fluke?
No,
I said the spell wrong.
Name a word that starts with F and ends with U-C-K.
I'm stumped. I can't think of a word. What is it?
Fire truck.
Ah.
Fire truck.
Yeah, that's the one.
I knew you knew that one.
Yeah.
I have another question for you, DJ Hey Cousin.
Okay, shoot.
What's white, sticky, and better to spit than to swallow?
Marshmallows.
No. Would you like another guess?
Tough one. Ranch.
No, the answer is toothpaste.
Ah.
Everybody wants to swallow ranch.
Not me.
That's true, me either. I have another one for you, man. Right. By the way, if you guys didn't figure this out, I'm asking him some weird-ass questions.
I'm with it, though.
What's, and everybody, play along. What's long, and if you want to guess, pause before you hear it, obviously.
Yeah, right.
What's long and hard when it's young and soft and small when it's old? And no, you can't say penis fish.
Dang it. A turtle.
No, would you like another guess?
A giraffe.
No, would you like another guess? It's a candle.
Ah, I was thinking of animals for some reason.
That's on you for being dumb.
Yeah, true.
What do men keep in their pants that their partner sometimes blow?
Their credit card.
I'll take it. The answer is money.
Ah, I'll take nice. It.
That was good.
Nice, nice.
You want another one?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. If you see me in bed, you watch me. Oh, wait, sorry. If you see me in bed, you whack me off. The bigger I am, the louder you scream. Seeing what's between my hairy legs will make your skin crawl. What am I?
A spider?
Yes! Fuck yeah! Good for you.
Nice.
You're
nice.
Not as dumb as you look.
Nice.
All right, you want another one?
I'll
give you two more.
Two more. Yeah, two more.
Two more. All right. What gets wetter when things get steamy?
Hmm.
I feel like this one might not be fair.
What gets wetter as it gets steamy?
What gets wetter when things get steamy?
Broccoli?
No. That's why I don't think this one's fair. It's steamboats.
You're not going to get that. Fair.
I said it wasn't fair. That's all right, two more. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. What does a man have that begins with P and gets bigger if it's properly stimulated?
His pension.
No, but I love that answer.
His pineal gland.
It's the pupil of his eye. Oh my God. What's the best part? The last question. What's the best part of your body to put into pie?
My foot.
What?
Put your foot off in this.
No. No, it's not a euphemism.
Oh.
It's a riddle. It's not an idiom or any of that. It's a riddle. What's the best part of your body to put into a pie?
My thumb.
What? I am concerned about your third answer because I saw the movie and you shouldn't do that, especially when it's hot.
Oh man. Okay. All right. Let me give this one more shot.
What's the best part of your body to put into a pie?
My heart.
No, it's your teeth.
Oh.
It's your teeth. You made that really disappointing. That was so bad.
I was doing good, though, for a minute, right? I was doing good for a while.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you were doing so good. If there's anything you can take from this podcast episode, it's Wesley puts weird thing in his pie. So I don't know what's going on with you.
They were euphemism for, like, you know, effort and whatnot and care. It's the dish.
Oh, my God. I cannot. Professionally silly life rules. Don't trust Wesley's pies. All right. Shout out to the listeners. You guys are fucking titties. I love your faces. But most of all, I love the ears that are attached to them. Subscribe to this podcast on another platform that you're using. And also do your girl a favor and give me a 5-star and or written review, because that literally is the best way to help my podcast grow. And, DJ Head Cousin, thank you for being here.
Of course. I'm always here for you, especially when you're sleeping.
That is not at all creepy. It's very creepy, actually. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyways, back to the outro. If this is your first time listening, come on back in and join in on all the silly. There are other episodes that are binge worthy and ready, and they do stand the test of time. Mm. Honestly, I would say if you're new, join me from the beginning and the journey of the different microphones I've used, the different topics and formats and all that stuff. The
sagas, different sagas.
Yeah, it's been a saga because we're like in episode 356, 357 or some shit. We should start announcing it like in the episodes. Like I low key want to count, but I feel like I feel like whatever the number it is right now is probably wrong.
Would you say you've been keeping track?
I started keeping track like a year or so ago, but before that, I don't know if I count it right. One of these days, I'm just gonna go in there and count them. But it's like
by hand.
No, it's like over 300. I don't feel like doing that.
Well,
if
you
are a huge fan of the Professionally Silly podcast, can you tell me how many episodes that I have?
Yeah, somebody please.
Yeah, let me know in the Professionally Silly pod group on Facebook. That'd be great because I don't know.
We would love to know.
It's a lot. Make sure you go ahead and check out the podcast Instagram as well at It's Pro Silly, and all that information is down below in the show notes under my link tree. You can find it all right there, including all my other social medias that I use. And DJ Head Cousin has his information down there as well. So
sure
stalk him online,
please.
If you're single, me too. Sorry about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Me too. And Valentine's Day is coming up. I'm gonna be a huge bitch.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't get me at least a Toblerone bar or a bar of chocolate or ice cream or something, I am going to slit your throat in your sleep and make you drink your own blood somehow. Is that too much?
No, not at all. It's very romantic.
Okay. Because you know you're my best buddy, and I feel like you should make me feel like I'm pretty.
Oh, you are pretty.
Say it with chocolate in your hands. Once again, check out the show notes for some bonus information. And for those of you interested in writing or sending things, the P.O. Box is down there as well. Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. Box 533, Lovejoy, Georgia 30250. And if you want to send me a text message or a voicemail like this strange fellow not too long ago who told us about how well endowed he was, you can hit us up 805-664-1828. But you don't have to tell us about your penis fish.
You do not. You do not. That's optional.
He's probably listening to that. Yeah, I did. That was me. Oh, my God. And I'll leave you with this. I actually don't have one. So, okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah.
If you listen to the podcast, you get that.
Yeah.
You get that. Until next time you decide to tune in, P Silly listeners, watch where you step, because there are pieces of shit everywhere, and they love to spread their ignorance. Okay, bye. See, next time I'll have a thought to leave you with. Hold on, I think I went off the fly.
Sometimes no thought is a thought all on its own.
Okay, bye. Ha 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 ha!